In the name of Jesus, amen. My friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are in the final countdown, the last two Sundays of the church year. And our readings this morning, each in their own way, turn our attention to the last days with words about endings and final days. But the end with Jesus doesn't mean that it's all over. With Jesus, the end is the start of a new beginning. Jesus and his disciples were leaving the temple. It was early in the week, probably on a Tuesday, of the week that we call Holy Week, the week that led up to Jesus' death and his resurrection. And Jesus' disciples were overcome by the magnificence of the temple. And they spoke out loud, "Look, teacher, look at those massive stones. What wonderful buildings." And rightly so. Herod's temple was an impressive sight. It was one of the wonders of the ancient world, 46 years in the making. And in Jesus' day, they were still adding on to the temple. Josephus, the Jewish historian, writes this description: "The outward face of the temple and its front lacked nothing that was likely to surprise either men's minds or their eyes. For it was covered all over with plates of gold of great weight. And at the first rising of the sun reflected back a fiery splendor and made those who forced themselves to look upon it to turn their eyes away, just as they would have done at the sun's own rays." As much as people hated Herod, they loved their temple. And the building of this temple was Herod's way of endearing the Jewish people to himself. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't impressed. And his words must have been a shock, both to his disciples and those who could hear within earshot. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." And 30 years later, it actually happened, just as Jesus said. The Roman army invaded Jerusalem and completely destroyed the temple, so that to this day, the only remnant of any building is a wall that we call the Wailing Wall. But the temple building itself was utterly destroyed, not one stone standing upon another. Well, you can imagine the disciples were shaken to hear such words, as any Jew of that day would have been very disturbed. I mean, the temple, after all, was the center of their religion. It was the dwelling place of God. How could God let something like that happen to his house? And later, while sitting on the Mount of Olives, directly opposite the temple, the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, when will these things happen? What will be the signs of these things about to be fulfilled?" I mean, will it happen in their lifetime? Will there be a signal, a warning? Jesus never tells them when, does he? And the sign he gives is not to satisfy their curiosity or their fascination over end times. And just like the disciples, we want signs too, don't we? I mean, we want to know when and how and what. Well, we're talking about the end of the world, right? And wouldn't you want to know when that would be? Or would you? I mean, Jesus knows better than to tell us, but he doesn't leave us without a warning and without a promise. Jesus' warning is to watch out. Make sure that no one leads you astray. No one deceives you. And don't take it for granted that you can't be fooled. Watch out. The religious world is a sign. False Christs, false religions, false gospels, which are not good news at all. They had them then, and we have them today. Self-proclaimed anointed ones, self-appointed saviors, promising deliverance from your woes and the uncertainty of your future. These religious gurus, these alternatives to Jesus, claim to put you in touch with God, even claiming miracles to make the point. But they don't point you to Jesus, do they? To his cross and to his resurrection, to his body and to his blood, to his baptism, to his word of forgiveness. The old heresies, they're still alive and kicking with new forms popping up all the time, deceiving you with false spiritualities, promising the usual peace, health, well-being, but all for a price. Don't be deceived. There is only one Jesus who died on a cross for you, and he's the only Savior that you'll ever need. Jesus doesn't answer his disciples' first question of when, but he does give them some signs that point to the beginning of birth pangs, he calls them. One sign he gives them is a political sign, with wars and rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It sounds like what we've been listening to on the news the last few days, doesn't it? Bombings, shootings, 127 victims in Paris as a result of those atrocities. 147 Kenyans killed, shot at a university yesterday. It's frightening times that we live in, even in this modern world. It seems like when peace is established in one part of the world, war breaks out in another. Nature, disasters, that's another sign that Jesus points to. Earthquakes in various places, famines, natural disasters. Do you realize that since last Sunday, there have been 636 earthquakes recorded, the largest being a 6.7 magnitude earthquake that hit Japan the day before last? It reminds us of what Paul writes in Romans, how the entire creation is groaning for the day of redemption, waiting expectantly for our resurrection, the redemption of our bodies. And yet we will experience more of the same. You can count on it. You can expect it. The last and the greatest sign that Jesus gives to us is the gospel. The gospel being preached to the whole world. This sign is not given so that we would try to gauge and measure as to predict when the last day would be, but to remind you and me what should be the constant occupation of the people of God and what the church should be about. We are the people of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Every day, the good news is more important than any news about wars, about earthquakes,
about terrors?
The news that is to stick in our souls is not the news of terrorist attacks, nor the news that causes anxiety, but the news of peace, the news of consolation, the news of eternal life, the news that leads us to know that we don't have to worry about the end, because the Lord Jesus, who will come at the end, is already coming to us now through His Word and through His holy gifts. It is His way of training us for the last day by viewing this day, His divine service, as the most important day, because we know that the Lord of glory is already here, already with us, even today, even now. Jesus is not trying to shake up His disciples, or you and I, causing us to fall into despair or to live in fear. He's giving them and us a way to look at things and to interpret what is happening in the world from His perspective. All the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, all the deaths of this world, Jesus calls birth pangs, labor contractions of the new creation. And just as giving birth is painful and often difficult, so is the coming of the new creation. It involves dying and rising. The death and resurrection of Jesus Himself, and also your death and your resurrection. Jesus prepared His disciples for the trouble that lay ahead for them. He knew that His own victory over sin and death would bring opposition. His disciples would be considered heretics by the religious world that prefer to deal with God on their own terms. They would be tried in the religious courts and banished from their own houses of worship, their very own synagogues that they grew up in. The government would be against them. They would be hauled before kings and princes to testify, yet Jesus assures them that they would be equipped for the challenge. Don't worry what you're going to say. Just speak what you are given by the Holy Spirit. Think of the apostles in the book of Acts. Think of those early church pastors and those early believers that were hauled before the religious courts, before governors and kings. And no matter where they went, no matter what the circumstances were, they preached Christ all the way to their own martyr's death. Jesus warned His disciples that they would be betrayed, even by them closest to them. Brother would betray believing brother. Children would betray confessing parents and have them killed. It happened in the first century, and it happens today in our century, wherever Christians are persecuted for the name and the sake of Jesus and His gospel. Jesus is not telling His disciples, He's not telling you these things to terrify you or to discourage you, but He's preparing you. He's preparing us to be alert in the times with which we live, to live with our eyes and our ears open to the signs of His coming. And He assures them, and He's assuring you this morning through His Word. Each of this morning's readings carry a promise of life in the midst of death, of hope, just when things seem the very least hopeful. In our reading in Daniel this morning, we heard of Daniel speaking of a terrible time that was ahead for God's people. one that will bring the archangel Michael, the one who has charge over God's people. Paul also writes about this archangel who would call with the signal of a trumpet blast at the very end at Jesus' coming in the clouds to raise the dead to new life and to gather his believers. This comes at a time of great distress, unparalleled in the history of the world. Yet did you hear the promise in the reading this morning that everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered? All who were in Christ are written in the book of life, and they will be saved. Those who are wise, that is, those who trust in the promise of Jesus Christ, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, we're told. Our Lord Jesus says, "He who endures to the end, that one will be saved." That's a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ, whose word is true and whose word is sure. He won't ever fail you or abandon you. He will never go back on his word for you. You have the sure and certain signs from God himself. Let's think about it. Your baptism, the testimony of God that your name is written in the book of life. You have Christ, body and blood, in the Lord's Supper, which you will take with you to the end of your days. You have his word of promise of forgiveness, that in the death of Jesus, your sins are covered. They are forgiven. And God is at peace with you. My dear friends, these last days are not days of panic or anxiety or uncertainty. Rather, they are days of alertness, of watchfulness, of expectation, of longing, of hopefulness, of long-suffering and endurance. Yes, there will be hardship. There will be pain. There will be difficulty and suffering, but these are only the birth pangs of a new creation that has already begun and has come in Christ. He who endures to the end will be saved. You have Jesus' promise on that. Trust him to the very end, for he is faithful for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.